Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name's Keith Greer. Thank you for listening this morning. We hope you tune in each Sunday morning as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We have a very extensive website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You'll find all these radio programs and MP3 files that you can download by looking at the title. We also have Bible videos on various subjects, 30 minutes in length, and you can look at and examine. And there's a host of other Bible-related material that's there for your pleasure, for you to look and to study and to meditate upon, and we hope that you'll take a look at it. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the regular meeting times of our Bible study periods and worship periods at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of our services. You'll always be warmly received. We want nothing from you. Just come with an open Bible, an open mind. Let us show you a need for God in your life. For the next few weeks, we are going to be examining the pattern of salvation throughout history. Now, the subject of God's grace always comes up when we talk about salvation. And indeed, no man can be saved without the grace of God. But the question is that all it takes? Is it all of God and none of me? Many religious organizations and many religious denominations teach that we're saved by God's grace and grace alone. But God's plan does not bear that out. In Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, it says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." Okay, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Teaching us. What teaches us? Grace teaches us. What does it teach us? Denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteous, and godly in this present age. You see, God's plan is given to us that we might know how to obtain that grace because it teaches us that we have to live a certain type of life. And then grace is obtained by being obedient to those instructions. And then when we are obedient to those instructions, God will save us because he promised to save us. Excuse me, in Hebrews 6:18 says that God cannot lie. Now, last week we looked at the example of Noah. Today we want to look at the example of Abraham. We begin reading Genesis 12, verse 1 and 3. "Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you, and I make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you, and in you all the family of the earth shall be blessed." Verse 7 says, "Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to you and to your descendants I will give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord that had appeared to him." Now, this is the call of Abraham. And in the call of Abraham, God makes three promises to Abraham. He promised him, one, that he will be the father of a great nation. He then promises that nation will have their own home and have their own land. And three, that all the nations of the earth would be blessed through him. Now understand, those are three promises: land, nation, and seed. The greatest of that, of course, is seed. But what did Abraham do? When God called him in Genesis chapter 12, what did he do? He left his home. Him and his family left their home and became nomads for the rest of their lives. Why? Because he trusted God. He believed in God. And to demonstrate that faith, we see in Genesis chapter 22 that son that he was promised, that he was 100 years old when it was born, his name was Isaac. And after the young man had grown to about 12 or 13 years of age, in Genesis chapter 22, God gave Abraham another instruction. Listen to this instruction in chapter 22. "Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, he said, here am I. And he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, and that you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering, and on the mountains of which I will tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey, took his two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he split the wood and for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place which God had told him. And on the third day Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you." Now, I want you to notice that God doesn't give Abraham any reason why he needs to offer Isaac upon the cross. Nor does Abraham ask for any explanation of why he must take his beloved son and offer him as a burnt offering on Mount Moriah. But he leaves and he goes to do exactly what God instructed him. And then in verse 12, after he laid him on the altar, bound his hands and feet, and was about to take his life, listen to verse 12. And he said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only begotten son, from me." Then Abraham lifted his eyes, and behold, a ram was caught in the thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son Isaac. Now notice, he was obedient to what God said, his obedient faith. Well, how could he do it? How could he be obedient? How could he offer his son? And how could he do it loving him and waiting so long to have him? Well, we have insight into what he was thinking about in Hebrews 11, verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom he said, "In Isaac your seed shall be called," concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he had also received him in a figurative sense. Notice that even if he took his life, Abraham believed that God would raise him up. Why? Because God had promised through that son that the promises made to him in Genesis chapter 12 would be fulfilled. He trusted God. He trusted God and he was obedient. That was his test of faith. God's plan was to save him. God's plan was to make a great nation out of him, a nation of God's people, and to give that people a homeland, and he did, the land of Canaan. And that nation became Israel, and we'll talk about that next week. And through his seed, according to Galatians 3:16, all nations of the earth will be blessed through the spiritual seed of Abraham. Now, how could he do it? This pattern we see again consistently. God repeats it again, that man's faith, man's obedience, God's grace, and man's salvation. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. It is God's desire that all men be saved. The Bible teaches us that in 2 Peter 3, verse 9, and in 1 Timothy 2, verse 4, it says God's desire that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. It is God's desire that all men be saved. God's grace is how that's going to be done, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. But how is grace obtained? Grace is obtained by obedient faith, by being obedient to the instructions, whatever they might be, that God gives in order that we might have salvation. And when we do that, then God will save us. Let me read you a concluding passage about Abraham in James chapter number 2, in James chapter 2, in verse 21 through 24. James, beginning in chapter 2, verse 21. "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." Why was he called the friend of God? Because he had obedient faith. He obeyed God. He did exactly what God told him. Let me ask you a question, ladies and gentlemen. How many of the three promises that Abraham was made did Abraham personally obtain? Did he see the great nation grow? No. He never saw the nation of Israel. Did he receive a home in the land of promise, in the land of Canaan, the land he was sojourning in? No. And did he ever see the Christ come that would be the seed promise, that would be the fulfillment to the seed promise that all the nations of the earth would be blessed? And we know from Galatians 3:28 and 29, if we've been obedient to Christ, then we are of Abraham's seed, an heir according to the promise. The promise of what? The promise of life. But notice Hebrews 11 and verse 8 says, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go to the place which he received as inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city, which has foundations, and whose builder and maker is God. Do you see? He had obedient faith. And so again, ladies and gentlemen, he is a pattern of salvation throughout history. We have God's grace being poured out on Abraham. God's plan for Abraham was to test him with the giving of his son Isaac. And then grace was obtained by his obedient faith that we just read in Hebrews 11, 8 through 10. And he was rewarded and justified by God, called a friend of God, because he was an heir of righteousness, because he obeyed God's instruction. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is a pattern of salvation. God speaks. Man hears, man obeys, and God saves. This is a pattern that God has done throughout time, and it is always the same. God is never going to do for us what we have the ability to do. Listen, Abraham had the ability to offer Isaac upon the altar. He had the ability to leave his homeland to go where God would show him. Abraham had that ability, and God required him to act on that ability. And he did. And that's why he was obedient. And that's why he had obedient faith. And that's why God's grace was poured out to him, because he was obedient. Now, whenever we talk about this subject, men want to say, well, if you say that man has to do anything in order to obtain salvation, then he's earning it. He's meriting it. Did Abraham earn it? Did Abraham merit it? Did Noah earn it? Did Noah merit it? No. They just had obedient faith. They just trusted God. And God gave them, because of their trust and their obedient faith, God's grace was poured out to both of them, in that he saved Noah and his family from the flood, in that he blessed Abraham and made him heir of righteousness and the father of faith. And he gave him every one of the promises that he gave in Genesis chapter 3, 12. Abraham's descendants and us became heirs of those promises. Again, ladies and gentlemen, this is a pattern of salvation. God repeats this. Man's faith, man's obedience, and God's grace. And God saves him. This is a pattern of salvation. One that we need to understand, and one that we need to grasp if we want salvation in our time. Now, we may live in a different time, but this pattern, we will see, is always, always,